Frank Frangie here. Hewn Flowers has moved their former Ponte Vedra location to Sawgrass Village. And when I need to send a floral arrangement for any reason, I know I can really count on Hewn. Call 398-8601, hewnflowers.com.
Now, Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by
Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL.
Now your hosts,
Lauren Brooks,
Donna Murphy,
and Lauren Rude.
Well, we are happy to be back on the road this week. Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes, is live from Boston's Pizza for their 11-year anniversary. Plenty of specials to tell you all about. We have giveaways here as well. There are TVs all over the place. We're watching Game 3 of the ALCS. We'll keep you updated on that. There's a replay of last night's Monday Night Football game, full of controversy, of course, that we just saw the ending of. Again, it was, I think, just as controversial this time as it was last night. But ladies, let's get to the Jaguars, who found themselves in a very sluggish spot on Sunday when they fell to 2-4 over on Sunday afternoon. It was about as stagnant of an offense as we have seen from Gardner Minshew at this point. Is the Minshew mania over for you yet? Because for me, I think the train is pulling out of the station, and I think the mustache and the jorts are worn thin on me at this point.
Heck no.
You're still in it
of
to win
course.
It?
Of course. We all sat through god-awful performances from Blake Bortles for decades, it feels like. I can take one semi-par okay game, not so good, from Minshew and still be on board. I'm fine with that. I will happily dress up as Minshew for Halloween.
Is that what you're going to go as?
I have no idea.
But that's what my cousin's going as for Halloween.
I mean, it's still, if you are off this train after that performance, what did you do for the past 5 years? What did you do for the past 10 years? Like, I don't understand how you could hop off so fast after that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he faced an incredibly good defense on Sunday, and he didn't get a whole lot of help. His go-to tight end a week ago tears an ACL. His next go-to and really only go-to tight end at this point, who he's even really played snaps with, who's any good, in Jeff Swaim, gets brutally hit and obviously falls unconscious before he even hits the ground. So he's losing some weapons, and you've got a pass rush that's really pressuring him. He and his receivers obviously were never in sync. I hope, it's a one-off. Mm-hmm. And Gardner Minshew is still a really talented quarterback. He just didn't have his best day on Sunday.
I agree with most of what you're saying. I still stick with, once Nick Foles is healthy, they will bring him back, for me, no matter what. I thought as soon as he went out, as soon as he can come back, they will put him back in, win, lose, or draw at this point. The fact that they've lost two in a row now, they're 2-4, they're going on the road to a Cincinnati team who is winless and extremely terrible. Is your idea going into the next few games, has it changed at all in terms of when Nick Foles is ready, if you're ready to bring him back, or you still stick with Minshew mania if he's able to rattle off a couple of more wins?
Well, I think you continue to evaluate, as they will, and especially once Foles is able to practice. The reason I wanted Minshew to stay as the starter is because he's developed this great chemistry with the receivers and the tight ends, although, again, that position is dropping like flies. And while Foles had that chemistry, he's now been out for so many weeks. So if Minshew was able to keep winning, then I thought that's why you stay with him. Obviously, the last couple weeks, the losses, the week ago in Carolina, not Minshew's fault. This past Sunday, definitely the offense's fault. So, yeah, now you evaluate. And, mm-hmm. and certainly, I think they'll make the best decision for the football team. It's just Nick Foles has no escapability. Minshew does.
Right.
There are times the offensive line doesn't play well, and I do think Foles will get the ball out quickly, so that'll be a little bit less of a hazard. But if he gets into a situation where the pressure comes, is he going to potentially get hurt again?
Yeah.
Because he's not able to move out of the pocket.
Yeah, I don't know. This organization's very confusing. I don't understand a lot of things that they make decisions on and why they're choosing what they're choosing. So I don't know what happens if, say, Minshew wins the next, three games straight. I don't know I don't know if that changes their mind of what's going to happen when Foles comes back. I think, you know, obviously all their money is in Foles. But look, I'm not ready to jump off the bandwagon. I'm happy sitting there, and I think it's nice to be able to say maybe, you know, we could possibly have this issue that we have two good quarterbacks. It's just, it's nice to enjoy it. Even though it, you know, it turned out to be a loss this Sunday.
Well, they'll hit the road next Sunday, or this Sunday rather, to take on a winless Bengals team that is awful. They are awful offensively. They are awful defensively. And they have the perfect opportunity to get right back in that win column before they come back home for the final time until December. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, I think this is a huge opportunity to not be the team. Nobody wants to be the team that breaks the losing streak for another team, right? They're 0-6 at this point. Nobody wants to be that team who falls to
the
a team who's yet to win. Oh, that's a good point. Sam Darnold returning, though, obviously showed, and that's interesting because the
and
Jets.
I don't say it like that smirking because it's your team.
Oh, no, that's okay.
I say it like that because we will see winless teams get a victory at some point.
Yeah, so you just don't want to be the team that ends up being the one that breaks that streak for them. But regardless, it's a Cincinnati team who's 26th in defensive and points given up, 27th in points scored. Now, the Jags, look, are not that much better in terms. I mean, they're a handful of spots better in terms of the ranking in both those respective categories. But this is absolutely, without a doubt, you cannot go up there and get beat by the Cincinnati team. I guess you can, and then you are 2-5, and then you got to crawl back home and face the Jets team, whose record may be as bad as yours, but they seem to have some momentum going because of the return of Sam Darnold. So, to me, you've got to go up there and win. There's just no other way around it.
Yeah, if you want to make the playoffs, we're getting to must-win territory. Last Sunday, the Saints at home without Drew Brees, possibly without Alvin Kamara, although he was able to play, obviously. We thought we were getting inching closer towards must-win. This game, you might not have to put it in that category yet, but I think that must-win dust is being sprinkled around TIA Bank Field.
Do you think this is a playoff team? The Jaguars, I mean.
If you're asking me right this very second, I would say no, but there's still an $88 million quarterback who has played only 11 snaps. He could change everything, yet he also could change nothing and Minshew could be the starter for the rest of the year. I don't know that part. To me, we were supposed to lean on defense, and the defense has been inconsistent. The fact that the offense is inconsistent, that does not surprise me, but the defense was supposed to be consistent. Had the Jaguars' defense played better in Carolina, we're talking about a 3-3 football team. And I think had they been able to beat the Panthers, you go into the Saints game with a little bit more confidence too.
I think it's interesting because a couple of these games could have gone either way in terms of wins or losses, and the record could be different. I don't know. This, to me, is not a very good team. It's not a playoff-caliber team. It's a team that is scraping by week to week and is riding the momentum of a rookie quarterback, and we talked about this last week. I'm fine with that. At this point, that's what you have to do. That's what you can piece together until Nick Foles comes back. And I also think what's something that's really interesting is we're assuming that Nick Foles is going to solve a lot of problems for this offense, but we still don't know because we saw, what, 8-10 passes out of him in the season opener against the Chiefs before he got hurt. So there's still so many questions. I think it would be really interesting if he had played the first three games and then gotten hurt. I think we would all have a better feeling about, oh, well, when he comes back, we know what we're going to see. We piece together what he's done in the past, and then we have that little bitty sample size. So there's still – we're nearly halfway through the season. There's still a lot of questions with this offense.
And AFC-wise, collectively, there's a lot of questions. There's so many backup quarterbacks playing right now, and a lot of the starters are coming back soon. And you have so many holes and a lot of teams. It's just – it's a weird year. It's a very, very weird year. So for us to say that they're not a playoff-caliber team, who knows? Because
– oh, I know. I mean, they're not a playoff-caliber team.
But, I mean, I got no idea. I mean, like, you know, like Lauren said, you know, maybe Nick Foles comes back. Maybe, you know, we haven't seen Josh Oliver yet. Maybe he changes. Maybe the offense all of a sudden ramps up, you know. Who knows? Who knows what happens? I mean, I'm just so confused this year. I just really don't know anything.
A confusing year. Well, we're not confused about this. We are live from Boston's Pizza tonight. And we are happy to be out here for their 11-year anniversary, where their commitment to serving scratch food, that was a term that I like to me, has become very popular. Once a scratch mm-hmm. kitchen, it means it's made fresh. It's not already prepared for you, but it's a scratch kitchen here. There's TVs all over the place. Your favorite games are on. As I mentioned before, we're watching Game 3 of the ALCS. We have a special guest joining us in the next little bit who will tell us more about the Walk-Off Charities connection with Boston's Pizza. But tonight, and tonight only, you can get 50% off pizza and pasta, and it's happy hour all day and evening until 2 a.m. We continue the conversation. We're going to talk about Jalen Ramsey and what his role is, if any, on this team moving forward. That's next, right after this.
I'm not sure if I've played my final game for the Jags yet or not, but my trade request still stands.
Well, that was Jalen Ramsey from the Uninterrupted podcast. He said, I don't know if I'm going to ever play in a Jags uniform again. I would think it's a safe bet to say that he will not play in a Jags bet or a Jags uniform again. Am I alone in feeling that way?
I don't think he wants to play in a Jaguars uniform again.
No, I know, but I don't think he will.
But I don't know that he has a way out. He has no leverage in this
He's
situation.
He's got a back problem, Lauren. Clearly, you're not taking his injury seriously enough.
No, that may work for this season. He may not play in a Jags uniform this season, but that can't
They'll trade
linger.
Him in the offseason. No,
but
it can't.
But if they don't trade him, and if Shad Khan does not want to trade him, the Jaguars owner, then he might end up playing in a Jaguars uniform next year. He may not want to, but he has no way out.
Well, if this continues, somebody's going to have to break at some point. And Shad Khan's not doing himself any favors by bringing this guy in who's hanging around. And listen, the part that we'll really never know until maybe somebody writes a tell-all one day and says, you know what it was like with Jalen in the locker room when his back was hurting and he was hanging out with us still, but he wasn't available on Sundays? Here's what it really felt like, because we can all guess, right? We can all assume that he would probably get really old really quickly, and maybe the guys who had his back literally when this began are maybe getting to the point where, like, okay, man, like, we could really... Because you know how winning fixes everything? Losing makes everything a whole lot more worse. And I think the longer this goes on, the longer that he's not available, you either put him on IR and then ride this thing out and finish the season and trade him in the offseason, or you try to get a trade for him now. There's been reports, as they've mentioned, that the Eagles have picked up the phone constantly trying to make some kind of trade with him, but I personally don't think he'll ever play for the Jaguars again. I know that he does not want to, but I don't think that he will play for them again. Do you guys think he will play for them again?
Hell no. And if they think they want, like, look, first off, I'm so sick of this story. It's annoying. It's getting worse by the moment with the stuff that he tweets out or likes on Instagram.
Yes, and tell people about, do you know the specifics of that?
Cam Jordan sacking Minshew.
Yes, he liked
you.
Yeah, he liked a video of that. So
and that first of all, I would understand it more if this was last year and it was Bortles because, yeah, he stunk. Why would you do this to Minshew? I don't understand that. He hasn't done anything to you personally to affect this, as far as we know.
He's stolen some of his attention away.
Yeah, that's true.
Not because he's done it intentionally, but he's stolen some of the fan love. Well, sure, from our perspective.
Right.
But from Jalen's perspective, if the world is all about Jalen, how dare this sixth rounder start to steal a lot of the fans' attention and certainly potential endorsement opportunities.
And have fun going to any team that you think will not have a player on there that will steal the limelight from you. You
sure.
are not going to be the head of any organization. That's not how it works. Defensively, that's not how it works.
Well, and I think Sunday he lost a big opportunity to show that he's still the league's best cornerback. To me, number 23 for the Saints, Marshawn Lattimore, was the best cornerback in the entire league on Sunday, and I think he's played at such a high level over the past couple years that he can stand to say that. And Jalen, the more Jalen sits out, the wider the gap goes between the best cornerbacks and him. And, you know, Doug Marrone always says the best ability is availability.
Right?
Well, obviously he's trying to – the only leverage he has in the situation is to say that he's injured and that he can't play. But Mort put out that the results of the back test showed it wasn't debilitating. So you're caught between, in my mind, you're caught between two men who are used to getting what they want.
Sure.
A man with $8 billion
mm-hmm.
who I'm sure that Shad listens to people's advice, but at the end of the day, he makes the final say. You've got Jalen Ramsey, who's been entitled and endorsed by everyone around him his entire life. And he's used to getting what he wants because he's a superior athlete. The problem is, again, he has no way out. He is here for the next couple years if the Jaguars want to keep him here. Shad Khan doesn't have to give in to Jalen Ramsey. And I think that's how it's perceived by this man who's so successful. I think he perceives it as, I'm giving in and I'm setting a precedent that if a player wants to go, I'm going to let him go. At this point, do I think they should trade him? Sure. But mm-hmm. I don't know that that's what the person who has the final say, I don't know that that's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Well, you see, a couple weeks ago, you heard Stephon Diggs say he wants out. He wants to be traded. But he's doing the exact opposite. He's performing remarkably well to, so much so that he's like, look at my numbers.
Yeah.
You know?
And his was, for clarification purposes, his was floated out that he was, there was some unhappiness with him. But he didn't pull a Jalen
no.
straight up say, oh, no, I want out of here. And I've requested a trade.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, the idea that he floated that out there, and it seemed, but again, they've started to win again, and he's getting the football more,
right.
And they're 4-2 up there, and life's a whole lot better when you're 4-2 versus being 2-4. Okay, let me ask you this. By Jalen claiming he has a back injury or can't go or whatever excuse we're using at this point, I see this kind of two ways. He can either be hurting himself, because these teams who would be interested in taking on this project that is Jalen Ramsey are going, you know what, this is a guy who's bailing on his team because he's requested a trade and they won't give it. It's become this stronghold. So now he's claiming an injury that may or may not be legit. More people are thinking it is not as legit as it maybe once was. We don't want to mess with that. Or are they saying, you know what, the longer he stays on the sideline, the healthier he'll be whenever we pick him up. And it is probably best for everybody in terms of maybe even the Jaguars too, because if Jalen goes out there, doesn't want to be there, does want to get traded, gets hurt, then you get less for him, and he's mad because he's still here. So is it the wrong thing that he's not playing?
Just put him on IR then. I agree with the umpteenth texts that we get into the wonderful text line built by Lifetime Enclosures, who all say either get rid of him or put him on IR. Stop letting him just be on the sidelines and being an annoyance. That's all he is. Do something. Make a decision. Stop this being in the middle, this wishy-washy crap. It's annoying and it's very distracting.
If I'm a general manager for another team and here's this guy who basically is throwing an adult temper tantrum, saying he wants out of here, what makes me think he's not going to do that?
Right.
When I end up signing him.
No, that's right, and that's fair.
And now I have to pay him a ton of money at mm-hmm. some point. This whole thing to me has really, we've always praised Jalen for being a really smart guy. To me, he's gotten some really bad advice. He should be out there playing, and at the end of the season, if he wanted to be traded, he should have gone to Shad Khan directly and said, this is what I would like. And then obviously at that point, Shad can still say, no, you're fantastic. You know what I do as a businessman? I try to find the best people and I put them in the best positions to be successful. I have you on a team where you are thriving. You are a starting cornerback. You're never going to relinquish that role. You get to cover the number one guy from the other team. And I still don't want to give you up. But I think at that point, he still would have had a better chance at getting what he wanted mm-hmm. than the way that it's all playing
out. Well, he claims from what we hear from him, which is not much all that often, but when he speaks recently, he's been saying a lot, that it's not about the money. The money takes care of itself. It's about the respect. Maybe to a point, but let's be honest. I think it's about the money. I think it's about him thinking he should be paid at this point, and the fact that he's not, pair that with any kind of disrespect he thinks is coming from the top down. And again, I am one of those people who thinks both parties are wrong in this, and this has gotten way out of control because both parties have let it get to this point. But I think to come out and say it has nothing to do with the money, it's all about respect at this point, is BS on
my... You say both parties are wrong. What did the Jaguars do wrong?
I think the Jaguars had the responsibility to try to make this work with him before it got to this point. I don't know what that means exactly. I don't know if they had these conversations. I don't know if they sat down and tried to figure out if there are problems coming up between them and their star player. What's the problem here? Let's try to work this out. Because requesting a trade in the beginning or the middle of the, or excuse me, the beginning of the season, to me, is not something that just the decision was made overnight. I think there has been some kind of problem with between he and either Doug, definitely Tom, I think they have all butted heads together. So to me, you got to find a way. If you have a star player, this is before all this has come out, but when before he took this podium and said all that he said in that weird press conference, to me, you have a star player who doesn't get arrested in the offseason and abides by the laws, but it's kind of a pain in the ass to deal with. Well, get in line. There's a lot of them like that. Mm-hmm. Again, this is before a lot of this has taken the turn it's taken. But at the beginning of this, it was, hey, you got to figure out how to work this out. This is a guy who you have invested a future in. He's one of the best cornerbacks in the league, and you're willing to let him walk away because we've got two stubborn people going after each other. So that's why, and now it has spun out of control.
But they told him, hey, we're not going to pay you this year.
Sure.
I'm sure they told him, we are going to pay you at some point. It's just not going to be this year. I just don't see what else they could have done. There are a lot of players who play at times just as good as Jalen and don't make anywhere near the money. Yannick Ngakoue certainly is one of them. Gardner Minshew, drafted in the sixth round, is not going to make near $1 million. He could be the starting quarterback for the next 4 years, 3 years and change. To me, I don't know that the organization could have done anything differently. I think you have a guy who doesn't want to be in Jacksonville, and that may have nothing to do with the front office. It may just be the way he was raised, and he wants to play in a bigger market, and he wants to be the star of the entire team.
Well, and you bring up Yannick, and it's a good thing because it seems like a lot of these antics and cry outs, you know, started with Yannick not being paid. Yannick should have been paid this year. This offseason, that contract should have been taken care of.
But according to reports, they offered Yannick money.
Right.
A contract. It was just not the length of the contract he wanted.
Correct.
He declined it, according to reports.
Right. So who knows what, we don't know what's said behind closed doors with that meeting and stuff like that. But it just seems odd that once that was going on and then Jalen shows up to training camp in the Brinks truck, it just, you see a lot of the subtle hints and you got to read between the lines. And I thought at first, I was like, man, that's really kind of rude. And it's almost like you're throwing shade with Yannick sitting out, not getting paid, and you're showing up in a Brinks truck. I'm like, that's odd. But now you look at everything and how everything has transpired. I get it. Mm-hmm. I completely get it, and I agree with you, Rue. A lot of it obviously has to do with money, but a lot of it has to do with, I think he simply hates it here. He just hates it here. He's dealt a crap hand the past couple of years, except for 17. But, you know, it just it just seems like he doesn't want to be here anymore, and I'm happy. Just IR or ship him away, please, because I'm done talking about him.
Yeah, it just, to me, you're going to get paid at some point. There is no player in the NFL who plays at a high level, who has no off-field issues, who doesn't get a big contract. He may not be the highest paid cornerback of all time. He may not be paid like a defensive end, which there was conversation at a time that he was going to be paid so astronomically high for a corner that his money was going to match what a defensive end makes. So we're talking about $15 million a year as a corner as the highest paid versus $20 million. That was all being discussed. Now he has lost all of that. So that's why if it's money, you are going to get paid. Just play another year.
No, and I want to make it clear that I was, again, I think they're both at fault for this. I think he now has, any supporters that he had, I would think are now few and far between based on everything that has happened since that press conference. It has gone in a completely extreme direction. And speaking of extremes, Antonio Brown is somebody that we have seen recently who has gone in a similar... Now, if we're putting this on the scale of Antonio Brown and Jalen Ramsey, I still think Jalen is more of the docile diva, if you will, compared to Antonio Brown and all the crazy crap that has come out about him and these legal ramifications and now people being like, no, we don't want to touch him with a 10-foot pole. But I think it's really interesting, the timing of Antonio Brown, and they couldn't get along in Pittsburgh, and then Oakland goes, you know what, we'll give this a shot, and then we saw this whole disastrous thing fall apart that... Jalen doesn't want to get lumped in with Antonio Brown. Even again, Jalen, outside of football, has not done anything to cause problems, and there hasn't been legal things, and he's not, I don't want to compare those situations, but in terms of causing problems within your football house, if you will, and I just think that he has got to be really careful about what kind of image he's putting forth at the time right now where guys who are demanding trades and then acting like this, it's kind of under a really big spotlight.
Well, I don't think it matters outside of Jacksonville. I really don't. I think anybody in any other NFL city wants Jalen. They don't care what he's doing here. They don't care what he says, what he posts, what he, you know, if he's sitting out, if he's complaining about his back, that's likely non-existent. They don't care. They want Jalen on their team because they know he will show up and play for them. Right here, we, you know, the majority of us are sick of him and just want him out.
They think he'll show up and play for them.
Yeah, yeah. I just wonder, Chad and I talked about this earlier today in the sense that, is there a team going, well, yeah, he'd be happy for now, but what about 3 years from now? But in my mind, I think we live in a time where coaches get fired.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
We've got to win now.
Yeah.
And that coach right now is going, and that organization is going, we don't really care about 3 years from now. We're trying to build to win absolutely right now. And if he falls apart in 3 years and pulls that out, there's a good chance none of us are going to be part of this organization anyway. But if he can help us win now, we can pay him what he wants.
Well, and I want to say that we all feel that Shaq Khan is extremely smart. We obviously know he's a brilliant businessman. So I'm going to go with they're holding off for the fact of maybe they're going to wait until the, you know, we see the teams that are going to be in the playoffs and they need him, and so they're willing to give up just a little bit more. So that's where the leverage comes in. Okay, now who wants Jalen? You come to us, and we'll see who has the best offer.
Before we hook up with Frank Frangie, let's get a quick glimpse at this week's injury report.
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
Well, Jalen Ramsey's who we'll start with that back, keeps him on the injury report and makes him questionable for week 7 at Cincinnati. Josh Oliver with a hamstring is also questionable, as well as you mentioned Lauren Brooks. The tight ends get fewer and far between at this point. And then Marquise Lee with that ankle is doubtful week 7 at Cincinnati.
And I'd be surprised if Jeff Swaim's not on there as well. He's in concussion protocol, had that awful hit on Sunday, so he's probably not going to play.
I would expect him, absolutely. I'm with you. On Tuesdays, it's tough to get a full injury report, but we do the best with what we have. He couldn't get enough of 3-6, so he decided to come hang out with us at Boston's Pizza. We chat with Frank Frangie and the good things he's doing with walk-off charities right after this. We're live tonight from Boston's Pizza, where it is filling up here in the bar area. It's a pizza and sports bar, so if you're are in the area, by the 11th anniversary, where you can get 50% off pizza and pasta, happy hour all day and into the evening, because that's where we are at this point. They're open till 2 a.m. and to celebrate their birthday, if you will. Happy hour runs all day and night into 2 a.m. We see some of our favorites here with us tonight. We'll have to go squeeze their necks. That's what we say where I'm from. I got to squeeze your neck when I see you next time.
Squeeze your neck.
Squeeze your neck. Give you a squeeze. That means give you a hug. So somebody who likes to get his neck squeezed, I think.
Dude, who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Kidding me?
The man of the hour, at least the next 18 to 20 minutes or so, is Frank Frangie. Frank, thanks for joining Helmets and Heels Built by Dreamfinders Homes.
How good is it? Let me tell you what I got. I'm with three of my favorite people. I'm at one of my favorite places. And I'm on my favorite radio station. You're talking about having a good night.
It's a trifecta. I think that's what we call a trifecta.
Pretty good Tuesday. We've done 1,000 shows out here. I haven't been out here in a while. This place looks great.
It does.
It is. This looks fantastic. Some of the most fun shows we've done, and Lauren Brooks knows this. She's done most of them with us. Have been out here, and we've come at it for March Madness. We come at it for football events, and this is a beautiful setup, and it's packed in here tonight for this birthday, and good for them. It's one of the just since they launched this thing 11 years ago, we've been doing shows out here, and so if you're on the north side and near the River City Marketplace, come out and see us at Boston. This is cool.
Well, one of the promotions they have going on right now, and one of the main reasons you're with us, Frank, is that now
really the only reason
we're contractually obligated to do so. Now through October the 31st, 10% of all pizza sales will be donated to something that's very near and dear to your heart.
Yeah.
Of course, the walk-off charities. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, and I it's for people that don't know, and I talk about it so much, I probably do it ad nauseum some. But we started a charity a few years ago to help little kids play baseball. I'm a big believer that every little kid should have a chance to play Little League Baseball. It's a big deal to me. And there's a lot of kids in a lot of areas that can't, they'll never have a glove, that'll never throw a ball because they don't have the means. Baseball's become expensive. It's become a suburban sport. It's become a private school sport too many times. And we wanted to change that, so we started a charity. We have clinics, and you know this, Lauren, because your husband does a great job working those clinics with us. Daniel does. And so we have clinics for kids. We work in concert with the Duval County School Board. We have 190 kids coming out here. Lauren Brooks handles all the food for all those kids, so she's been busy. But we have 190 kids coming a week from Friday. We're super excited about it. We'll do 8 of those a year. then we'll also take whichever many of those third graders want to play baseball. Most of them never have. They don't know if they're right-handed or left-handed. But ordinarily, they wouldn't have had a glove before. They would have never played. And the ones that want to play, we put them in a league, and we pay for it. And they have a uniform, and they have equipment, and they play an 8-game season, and they get to be on a team. And a team building means everything. Playing sports means everything. Having your own glove when the other kids in your class had one and you didn't means everything. And so we've done that. So that's kind of an overview. And the folks at Boston, from the day we started this thing, have been involved with us. We've done fundraisers out here. When we have our big fundraiser, the first pitch, they come out every year and provide food. And it's just been a wonderful setup and a wonderful partnership with our friends at Boston. And they were kind enough to give us a percentage of their pizza sales between now and the end of the year, which is so nice. And so I said, I'm going to come out here and talk about it. So I invited myself to the party so I can come out here with you guys and talk about it. So I gave you a long answer. So I hope people will buy a lot of pizza from Boston's between now and the end of the end of the month, because all of it goes to a percentage of all of it goes to our cause.
I've been honored to be a part of it since the beginning. I know there have been lots of moments along the way that have touched me. What's been the one moment that you weren't expecting that really got to your soul?
I don't know if there's one, Lauren. There's one specific one. But the one that repeats itself over and over is these kids are sometimes from tough backgrounds. And again, I took for granted Little League Baseball. I played Little League Baseball, you play baseball. You may not take to it, but every kid's got a chance to. And I had my first glove when I was, I don't know, my parents went to Montgomery Ward and spent $4 and bought me a glove, right? And when you give a kid a glove and the kid goes and he looks at it, and there's these nice new gloves, you see them, there's nice new gloves. We tell them, put your name in it. So the first thing the coaches do, they have Sharpies. You get your glove and you put your name in it. And you take that glove everywhere for that whole clinic. When a kid looks up and he goes, do I get to keep this? That's the moment. And it happens over and over. So it's not one moment. I get to keep this? Yeah, your name's in it. You got to keep it. Your name's in it. That moment, those 10 seconds, when the kid's mouth is open and his eyes are wide and he's hitting his glove and realizes it's his like forever, he's not giving it back. That's the moment, and it's an amazing moment.
Frank, what was it that made you want to start this?
Well, I've told the story a lot of times, so I'll tell it again. I grew up in this park, Sanssouci Donna, which is near our station, and it's near where I grew up. My dad died when I was 14, so the people at that park kind of raised me. One of the coaches taught me how to drive. Another coach let me borrow his car for my first date. I remember the car. Almost broke down.
That would not have led to a good.
What kind of car was it?
It was an Oldsmobile 88.
Nice.
It was sweet. Okay.
And what color? Well, it's got to be beige. My money's on
88.
Brown. It's called an 88.
Which
brown.
Was in the family.
Brown,
brown.
Not a 1988.
It's called an 88. No, it wasn't 1988. It was called an 88.
Okay.
It was way before that.
That's what I thought.
But it was brown with this vinyl. Yeah, it was brown. Brown and beige.
Yeah.
So I grew up at that park. That park raised me. And I went back, I don't know, six, seven years, whenever it was, and the park was decimated awful. So we got involved and we rebuilt the park. Long story shorter, too late to make it short. I'm in my house one day, and we're proud of this park, and my dishwasher breaks, and the plumber guy comes out, and he's a young guy, nice guy, probably 30. And he fixes my dishwasher. So I get talking, and I'm watching him because I can't do anything. And he says, and I said, where do you live? We live near Windy Hill, which is near our park. He said, hey, you got kids? You got to come play baseball. We're real proud. We rebuilt our park. He said, sir, I got 5 kids, and it costs $150 to play in one of those baseball leagues, and I'll never be able to afford it. My kids are never going to play organized baseball. He left, and Donna, I thought, that's the moment. Mm-hmm. We've got to find a way where that guy's kids can play. Mm-hmm. And so that guy, I've never, by the way, I don't, a lot of people ask me who the plumber is. I don't know. I know the plumbing company. I wouldn't say that on air, but I know the plumbing company. But I remember thinking, I hope that kids play. So anyway, we want that plumber's kids to be able to play baseball. He works hard. He's working on a Saturday. That was a Saturday. He's working his butt off on a Saturday. His kid needs to be able to play baseball, and that's kind of why we did it. We've run about 3,000 kids to those clinics. We've had last year. We started the league. We had about 200 playing our leagues, and we're gonna hopefully triple that this year. But that's why.
And one of the best moments for me was getting an email from one of the moms who said, you know what, I'm a single mom. My child would never have been able to play baseball before, and you should have seen the look in his eye when I got to walk him out for his first time. He had the most fun of all, and I can't thank you enough. And it was like, wow, literally an idea that Frank had, and then the execution of a lot of people, obviously all friends of Frank's, was able to take this one person and change her kid's life. Like, that is incredible.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you something about that, and I brag about these guys. The best baseball coaches in town work these things. The best. I mean, the Chris Hayes, the head baseball coach at JU. Tim Parenton, the head baseball coach at UNF. The best high school coaches in town. I'm not going to start naming them because I'll forget guys, but there's 20 of them, and they know who they are, and they win state titles and go to Final Fours. And you would think, well, they don't want to waste their time on a third grader who doesn't know if he's right-handed or left-handed. They would rather spend their time with a 16-year-old who has a great swing. Not so. They can't wait to get out here. I'm telling you, there was one weekend, I've never forgot this. JU's playing at home against Stetson, who that's a big rivalry. UNF's playing at home against Florida Gulf Coast, big rivalry. They have a Friday, Saturday, Sunday weekend series. Both of them are at home playing in the same league in the Atlantic Sun, and both head coaches are out working our clinics that morning. And
with
then
their players.
With their players, and the assistant coaches. So it's a wonderful thing that a lot of people care about doing. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's where we are in youth sports today. It's scary, right? This trend that has been going in a direction that is more exclusive than inclusive, one that is specializing at such an early age, and one that may take away from high school athletics if we're not careful. You're going to lose high school teams if all these kids join travel teams and then pull away from their own school teams, and the kids who can't even begin to do all that is kind of who you're helping out.
Well, I hope so, Lauren, and I'm not anti-travel guy.
No,
I think
it works for some.
Yeah,
I just worry about it, right, in the sense of.
But no, what you said's right. I'm not anti-travel guy. If you can afford travel and it helps your kid get a scholarship, I'm all for it. I was involved in travel organizations a lot, but there's a gap.
Mm-hmm.
There's kids that will never be able to do that.
Right.
And that's who we want to help. I spoke to an elementary school one time, years ago. Just the teacher was a buddy of mine. The teacher's actually a buddy of my wife. She was a friend of my wife's, and just to talk to him about sports, and it was an elementary school, and not half the kids, but a handful of the kids had their baseball jerseys on.
Mm-hmm.
They were excited. They were going to Cooperstown, and they were playing, and other kids didn't. And I could see the look on the ones that didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I asked the teacher, I said, do they play on teams too? She said, nah, some of them just haven't been able to play. Well, I want to make it where they can all wear their jerseys to the class, right? That's so. That's kind of the idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Frank, we appreciate you coming by. Unless I don't want to interrupt here.
I was just going to say, I know that that the clinics have been awesome, and I know that the leagues have been awesome, but I also know that you're not done. So what's next on the docket?
Yeah, we're trying to grow this. There's a lot on the docket. Number one, we're starting our clinics back on the 25th. We're very excited about that. 190 kids coming out. We're going to do everything we've been doing with clinics. We'll bring them over to Sanssouci. The field trips, the same thing we've been doing. We're going to try and double the amount of kids we have in our leagues. We're reaching out to leagues in various areas of town. Sanssouci's the south side. We want an association over here on the north side. San Mateo's been a great partner for us. We want an association on the west side, probably Normandy. We're going to reach out so we can have kids that live close to those parks play. So we're adding the number of kids. We're adding an educational initiative. We're combining it with math because we want to make sure we're addressing the educational side as well.
I might need to participate in that.
Yeah, one. Yeah.
You said math?
Math, yeah.
Is that where you teach 6, 4, 3 equals 2?
See there, you're good on that. So
yeah,
you know that, didn't you?
Right there, baby.
So we're trying to add our initiative, add children, more gloves, more kids playing, and that's where we are. And then we've got some bigger plans down the road. We're going to have a baseball tournament that has 12 high school teams in it, raising money for this cause. And on the 12th of November, and I really want to talk about this, and then I'll get out of your hair. We have our first ever movie night. We're showing the movie Major League because the movie Major League is hilarious. And no, the cleaned up version. Relax.
Okay.
The other version.
Okay. Just
I was
relax.
Gonna say, I'm like
don't,
that.
Don't put your mouth in the. Don't put your mind in the gutter. There's a cleaned up version.
I'm like, you don't want to show like
yeah.
so
such a thing. Yeah. Oh boy,
the
okay.
natural.
But
or
we're showing it.
Where does one buy a cleaned up version of this? Because
well, you know what? It's funny you ask. Okay?
The Sandlot. You don't want to show the Sandlot.
They actually have one they show on like TNT and TBS.
Yeah,
we're using that one.
Okay.
Yeah, not the one they on the others channels. But
it's amazing.
But we're doing it on November 12th. It's at San Marco Theater. It costs $50. For your $50, you get to see the movie. We all hang out together. You get all the food you can eat. You get a free drink.
Quesadillas, pizza,
all this at San Marco Theater. And it's on this Tuesday night. We're thrilled to be doing this. And we're all going to hang out together. We're going to have a glove drive from 4 to 6 while we do our
new and used?
New and used. preferably new.
Sure.
Because you can go to Walmart and get one for $8.
Yep.
But we'll take used as well. We get, collect as many gloves as we can from 4 to 6. We're going to have sort of our own little happy hour from 6 to 7. Just getting to know everybody. I want to meet everybody that comes by and say hello to them and have a drink with them and hang out with them. That's a lot of drinks, I guess. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll start the movie, and we're thrilled about the movie. And it's a lot of people. We've already sold a bunch of tickets, and we can sell 150, and that's how many we want to sell.
Where can people buy those?
Walkoffcharities.com.
Okay.
And I want to thank the many sponsors who have gone out of their way. 925 Insurance Group, that's David Hodges' group. And Dr. Shane Silver, a chiropractor in town, is on our board and has come up with the money to put this thing on. And so that's November 12th. So walkoffcharities.com. Please go. Please buy it. It costs $50, and you hang out, and it all goes to buying kids gloves and playing for them to play in leagues. And we hope people come out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Do it for the kids.
That's right.
And you won't hear any cuss words.
No cuss words. We're going to block them all out of the movie, I promise you.
Frank, thanks for coming.
Thanks,
by.
Ladies. I'm gonna eat and hang out with you guys.
Please
hang
do.
Out with all these people for a while.
Yes,
thanks for
have
having
a
me.
Cold
that was
beverage.
Fun.
You Thank bet. You Frank Frangie, there he goes. We appreciate him. You can catch him, of course, weekdays on the Frank Frangie Show, alongside Lauren Brooks, Hayes Carline, and Andrew Gibson. Andrew Gibson, we say goodbye to you. Thank you very much for all your hard work. We welcome in R.J. Saunders at the turn of the hour. Sleep is important. How important is it? There's one professional sports league that is worried that the lack of it could cause deadly effects. Do I have your attention now? We'll discuss that right after this.
Jaguars football by women, for women, and men. Helmets and heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Quick.
I love it. I love the song.
I wonder why. Is it a perfect lead-in to the Yankee hater in the room? A quick update, Game 3 from ALCS. The Astros, it's stretch time now, and the Astros lead the Yankees 4-0 in this one. Middle of the seventh, going to the bottom of the seventh. Yankees trying to wake the bats up, but Donna wanted to make sure we got that in before we got too far
yes.
down the road.
I thought it was a perfect lead-in for where we are.
Yes, absolutely. That's another good point. Yes, I didn't think about that. Thank you,
I
Andrew.
Read into that one.
Boston's Pizza. We'll tell you more about that. We appreciate Frank for hopping on with us. And again, you can go to walkoffcharities.com to learn more about all the fundraising efforts that they have for the organization. I heard about this story earlier in the week, and it caught my attention, but then as life does, it got away from me until Lauren Brooks, you sent this in for part of the rundown. And the title of it on ESPN.com, it's the dirty little NBA executive. It's the dirty little secret that everybody knows about. So my mind kind of went a whole bunch of different directions. And then when I opened it up, it's kind of a lengthy read. But essentially it's saying that due to the harsh schedule that NBA players have, which includes 82 regular season games, a number of back-to-backs at times, they fly from East Coast to West Coast and all the way in between.
50,000 miles in a season.
They travel a lot. The sleep patterns that they have are often disrupted and at times cause physical pain and emotional pain and psychological, all sorts of stuff, because essentially they're exhausted. I have a really hard time feeling empathy for people who play professional sports, who travel better than most of us do or ever will do. I also know what it's like to struggle with sleep. If you've ever had kids, you definitely know that those times where it's 3 to 4 hours in a stretch and then you got to be a functioning adult. But to me, this is a bit of a stretch, and it was compared to at one point that the long-term effects of this sleep, lack of sleep, will essentially be the NBA's version of the NFL's CTE. And to me, that's goes a little bit too far. What do you guys think?
Well, I find it ridiculous to feel sorry for the fact of you have another sport where they have 162 games, sometimes twice a day, and yet you don't see this article coming from any baseball player.
But they spend 3 to 4 to 5 nights
in
same
one place.
City.
Yes.
Yeah, whereas NBA, they're traveling way more.
Nope, I'm sorry. I got zero empathy for it. I mean, I'm like, you know, like Rue said, I mean, you got the parents with the kids, or you got, you know, I could throw in, well, what about, you know, my husband's who's in the military? How about anybody out there? You don't hear, you know, I'm like, come on, this is just, I went straight to baseball. They got double the games. I don't want to hear it. I understand they're in one place for longer, but still, I got nothing on this one.
See, I don't think that people should be expected to, I have the microphone, by the way, that
We'll have to follow that down at the break.
I don't expect people to get on a plane at 1 a.m. after a game, land at 3, get to their hotel at 4, and then turn around and play a game in just a few hours after that at a super high level when they've run on virtually just a few hours sleep. Your body cannot be put to the exertion level that it needs to be in professional sports without enough sleep. So I think the NBA just needs to look at the schedule and redo it to where they are spending a little bit more time in the same city. They don't necessarily have to shrink the schedule, although I think that would be the smart thing to do because you're already seeing guys miss several games in the midst of a season, and it seems like nobody pays attention until Christmas anyways. But that's from me, the non-NBA fan. So I think they should shrink the schedule. But even if they didn't, they could still get the same amount of gates, if you will, and the ticket and the admission and the concessions if they were to rework it so then players are spending a couple nights in a city versus a city here, a city there, a city here, a city there, with no breaks in between.
I don't doubt that sleep deprivation is one of the truest forms of torture. There is absolutely no, I mean, to the literal sense, keeping people awake for long periods of time is absolutely detrimental to your health and your well-being, and no doubt about it. And the idea, I mean, just think about it. If you've ever been on an airplane and switched time zones and spent a few, you're going to be exhausted. There's no doubt about it.
And cranky. I get really cranky.
But for me, this is one of those times where I'm willing to say, you know what? You make a whole lot of money doing this. You fly in some pretty comfortable airplanes. I'm fairly certain you're not lugging your bag through security and having to stand there like the rest of the world. And you stay in, I would assume, very nice hotels. And you really, I mean, if your game's at 7 or 8, I can't imagine that you report before 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I mean, by no means is it not difficult, because that schedule's hard on everybody. But I, again, am of the mindset of, like, let's not compare this to guys bashing their brains in over and over again and then wake up one day and can't remember where they parked their car. Well, to me, I think that's a bit of a stretch in terms of long-term effect.
Well, and I mean, the same can be said for hockey players. They have roughly the same schedule, and they go out there. Look at Chara last year with a broken jaw. Just slap on a different helmet and I'll keep playing. And you've got so-and-so with a sprained thumb who can't play for weeks.
Yeah,
I mean, with basketball, I got no empathy.
But it's right thumb.
Oh, God.
That's the throwing
Shaq
hand.
Shaq had his big toe hurt one year, and he couldn't play for like 3 months. I'm like, I can't. It's so baby.
But it's the way it has been, I guess, in my opinion, why not look to make things better? Yes, they get paid a lot of money. Yes, they play a sport for a living. But at the end of the day, if it's not healthy for them, we should look to be able to make changes.
Those
to make
in
it
charge
healthier.
Should yes, they should address it in terms of, again, I think 82 games is entirely too many. A number of reasons, and the one down on the list is the sleep thing. Now we can add that to it, but it's too many. They should cut it to 60. They'll never do it because of the money. But it's something that if they take this study seriously enough, they do need to reconsider these back-to-back. Because what I read from it is it's the back-to-backs, and it's traveling from the East Coast to the West Coast in such a short amount of time that makes it really difficult for their bodies to catch up. And there's a lot of these players that have all these methods with sleep and what they try to do. And the other part of this is you can't go, if you're complaining about how tired you are, you probably don't need to go out hanging out with chicks and late at night after basketball games if you really need to sleep.
But I would bet that doesn't happen that often if they are truly exhausted. The difference to me between football, concussions, and all that is not every single football player deals with that. Obviously, in the NBA, the way at least the article made it sound is every player is having to deal with a lack of
being
sleep.
Being tired. Yeah.
Right.
We're all tired.
I mean, at least they're not.
I feel fully rested.
At least they're not minor league.
I do 8 or 9 hours of sleep for me.
Yeah.
At least they're not minor league baseball players who are trucking in on a bus.
Yeah. No,
from
that's
city to
a
city.
Whole
they
other
can sleep
grind.
On the. No, I'm just kidding. But imagine being 7 feet tall, getting to a hotel.
Sleep on the bus.
You don't have a king size bed, and
oh, sure,
you
but
don't
I think
fit
they
on the bed.
They got
a bed's a crappy.
I mean, they're
bed.
Not saying it like the Motel 6. With all due
you're
respect
really
to the Motel
trying to
6.
Defend the basketball players.
Did you read the article?
Yeah, and I still have zero tolerance.
He's like,
for that
we
kind
go
of
to some hotels, and the beds are terrible. So that's where I'm just saying.
Is this why Antonio Brown did his whole little like Airbnb? You know, because he wanted his. When
I
he
didn't know about that. He did an Airbnb.
Oh, yeah. He didn't stay. Yeah.
Oh, he stayed in an Airbnb?
Yeah. When he traveled with the Steelers. He didn't stay
those
with
are
them
risky.
At the hotel.
I mean, I just think yes, we can look at it and say, oh, what are they whining about? You know, everybody has to deal with the lack of sleep on a daily basis. Or we can look at it and say, if you want your team to be its very best, and most fans of teams and athletes do, then let's look to make this situation better. That's the angle. I'm not saying they're the athletes with the worst situation by any means. But if this is something and they are literally getting 3 hours of sleep and playing several games in a every day for weeks on end, then that's where something needs to be done.
Yeah. All right. We're going to give our chocolate Peter Brook chocolate heel away when we return. Plus, we'll tell you more about Boston's Pizza and all the specials they have going on for their 11-year anniversary. But coming up next, fans behaving badly. We get to that. Plus, is family ever less important than sports? Or rather, are sports ever more important than family? We discuss right after this.
Jaguars football, by women, for women, and men. Helmets and heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Well, we're live from Boston's Pizza and Sports Bar tonight, where it's the 11th anniversary. Happy birthday to Boston's Pizza. And for today, for the remainder of the evening, you can get 50% off pizza and pasta. And as a reminder, that 10% of that pizza that you buy, not the actual food, but the cost that it, that you pay for it, will go to walk-off charities between now and the end of the month. And it's also happy hour prices all evening long here at Boston's Pizza. So come check them out. They've got plenty of space. There's wonderful food and games all over the TVs that are all the way 360 view around you.
That's right.
That's
by
with
the way,
my arms swinging
I used
around.
I used to work here on the north side, and I remember when they just started the construction here at the River City Marketplace. So this place has been fantastic for everybody who lives out here, and there was nothing out here like this. And certainly Boston's fills a great void for a sports bar. I wish there was a Boston's at the beach that was really close to my house, because I could bike there and watch sports, because this place is fantastic and the service, as always, is spectacular.
Well, South Carolina added insult to injury when they beat up on Georgia on Saturday. That was an incredible game. I felt bad for both kickers at one point, but they decided that they would enjoy the hedges around the stadium. Donna, did you think this was a bit of fans acting poorly, or I guess the football team as well? Or did it just sting a little more because Georgia lost?
Well, it didn't sting for me because I had no affiliations for Georgia, but I was just more surprised. It was more of a, ooh, I don't think that's probably appropriate or a good idea. Because my husband first noticed it, and he's like, they're tearing up the hedges? I was like, oh, my gosh,
they are. In Sanford Stadium, yeah, there's hedges
it's called
around.
Between the hedges.
Yes. Yeah.
And they thought, you know what, let's tear out the hedges.
I couldn't believe it. I saw that they have come out and obviously since apologized, which they should.
Yeah, the athletic director had to do that.
Yeah, and probably, I would say, pay for any, you know,
replacement hedges
that need to be done. But yeah, I was, you know, you were on such a high. I get it. You know, they're young kids, and I understand. I don't fault them for it. But obviously, it's like, ooh, yeah, everybody was so happy for you, and now
I didn't even know about this till you sent. I had no idea they.
If you were watching live at the end, they show the South Carolina players going and ripping
and
part of the
fans.
Hedges. Yeah, the only part I saw was were the actual players doing it, and then obviously putting them in their mouths and taking pictures. And I mean, when I first watched it, I was like, whatever.
Right.
Like Brian, my boyfriend, went to a lot of the Olympic soccer games that were held there, and he said they had to rip out the hedges so that the games could be played. So I was like, it's not like they've been there for 100 years.
Like when they poisoned the tumor's corner.
Sure, it's not like that. However, then I started to reflect on it a little bit more. Obviously, in the moment, as a graduate of the University of Florida, watching Georgia lose was fantastic. I literally was screaming as if it was my team that was playing in the game, to the point where after the game, I was like, my voice is a little hoarse and I have to work in the morning. I need to dial it back because I have another game, my actual game, coming up later tonight. Going back to the kickers, though, by the way, I don't think the South Carolina players should have done it, but it's something where in the moment, you don't think about it. I don't think they were intentionally going into that game saying, if we win, we're going to tear out the hedges. But going back to the kickers, one, Rodrigo Blankenship.
Yes.
The commentators call him a generational kicker in the middle of the game. Are you kidding me? Yes, he's good. Generational? Obviously not, because didn't end up winning thanks to his kick. The other thing, Parker White, the South Carolina kicker. I don't know if this is what he does every game because I don't watch them that closely, but before the first field goal that he ended up missing, he has that frat boy hair, and he kept pushing his hair to the side.
You think it got in his way?
I don't think that it got in his way, but, like, dude, don't be worried about your hair.
Maybe it's a nervous tick.
It might be, but, like, go to your little net and line up and practice your field goal multiple times. Don't be worried about that. But I did feel for Parker White, certainly when he missed.
God, I felt horrible.
The chip shot. Yes. But in the end, obviously, he got the other another opportunity, and it was fantastic. It was a glorious afternoon for me, but obviously the night didn't end up so well.
Where does your hate rank in terms of teams that play Florida? Like, who do you see as their main rival, and who do you hate the most?
So, for me, it's always Florida State 1, okay. Georgia 2, Tennessee 3.
Has that changed based on the poor performances of Tennessee and Florida State recently? Like, do you even consider them a threat anymore?
Yes, for Florida State. No, okay. For Tennessee, but it doesn't change the hate. Yeah. Obviously, a lot of people that I grew up around ended up going to Florida State. A ton go to Florida, a ton go to Florida State. That's, you know, we're from Jackson, or I'm from Jacksonville, and that's just what happens. And a lot of people that are Florida State fans have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder because Florida fans for so long said, you were just a women's school. They didn't allow men into the school until like the 50s. They didn't even have a football program until at some point. So we've always thrown, I say we as the collective Gator fan, have always thrown that kind of in the Seminoles' face. And it is harder to get into Florida than Florida State, so that's always been a big talking point. So when Florida State beats Florida, it's like all of that stuff comes up, and they just, you know, and rightfully so, they're obnoxious, and they lord it back over Florida fans. Georgia, though, if you were to ask my dad the same question, it would be reversed. Georgia would be one for him, Florida State two, because he was raised in a culture where Florida was always losing to Georgia. I grew up where Florida was always beating Georgia. Mm. So it does change a little bit. But Tennessee, when I was at school in Gainesville, I watched a Tennessee fan spit on a Florida fan after a game where Tennessee lost. And from that moment, even though this is just one person and doesn't represent all of Knoxville.
You canceled the whole fan base.
But to me, it was like, that is disgusting. And plus, Florida-Tennessee was such a heated rivalry when I was growing up, too. So, yeah, that's how it goes for me. But there, if you ask people in Baton Rouge, a lot of people would say Florida's number one for them right now, which is crazy to think. Mm-hmm. But because of all the hurricane stuff and the back and forth between the two teams, they literally made a case last week online for Florida being LSU's number one rival. Florida can't even get LSU to at least, like, 4. Maybe you could put them in at 3 over Tennessee, but there's a lot of rivalries. That's the bottom line. I have a lot of hate in
this
heart.
You guys, that heart of hers, who she's such a happy person, but she still has some darkness inside of her. I heard this morning on the drill that, speaking of crazy fans, that there was a young Alabama fan who took it upon himself to call in a bomb threat of sorts at the beginning of the LSU or Florida State, some sort of like, hey, there's something going on in the stadium. You need to, in order to distract the LSU-Florida game from happening down
in
the bayou. Yeah, and the kid now has been found and is arrested and I'm sure is going to go to jail.
Like, yeah, that just seems dumb.
People are really insane sometimes when it comes to their sports teams.
Yeah.
They are, but I mean, that's something where nowadays, you know, the moment that's any sort of threat, whether it's viable or made up, is going to land you with some sort of
You would hope that somebody would be smart enough to know that, for sure, for sure. All right, there has been some debate whether or not sports should ever be more important than family. And when I say more important, I say take priority over. In two kind of different scenarios, we have Kelly Stafford, the wife of Matthew Stafford, quarterback for the Detroit Lions. She has been battling a brain tumor, and it seems to be like she's going to be okay, but still is going through all the treatments and stuff. And Lauren, I guess there's a discussion of whether or not Matthew should still be playing right now or should be at home with her.
Well, that was really my question was, and it was more when she was first diagnosed with the brain tumor. If it's you and you have 3 children under the age of 2, do you look at your husband and say, look, I don't think that I can go through all of this and at times you not be around because you're practicing, you're watching film, all the things that a football player has to do. I just wondered when you're in that vulnerable state, and she certainly never alludes to this. She wrote a first person article about her experience going through all this. She was faced, so she had some hearing issues. They thought it might be vertigo. She goes to the doctor. They do some MRIs. They discover it's the brain tumor. And she's faced with potential hearing loss for the rest of her life. She's faced with, obviously, balance issues that could affect her forever. And to me, the most poignant part of the story was when, after the surgery, her husband told her, I'll be on your left if things go well, and I'll be on your right if things go poorly, because she was going to be in such trauma that she couldn't process words and sentences and all that stuff. And so after the surgery, they ended up having to stop the surgery several times because of her hearing nerves. But long story short, he ends up on her left side, which means things went well. But so the recovery process from the end of surgery, they wanted her to get up and try to take a few steps. The very first day, she couldn't even sit up out of bed. Then she eventually progresses to a couple steps.
Now, the whole time, I don't mean to interrupt you, but the whole time that this is going on, he's gone?
This part of it is the off season.
Okay.
So, but at about July, when training camp arises, he is trying to balance playing and being at home with her, and she finally says, you need to go. You need to be with your teammates and go. Yeah. But I wondered if in that moment or if in that time of your life, you look at your husband at some point, the thought crosses, I don't want to do this whole recovery process without you. I want you to be there for our kids, not someone else, not another member of our family, not a nanny. I want it to be you. I want you to be there when I wake up from my naps.
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, she's probably, and most, from what I know about most spouses of professional athletes, they find a way, and coaches for that matter too, they find a way to do life without their significant others for long periods of time.
But normal life.
Right. But they have a support system usually. And in this case, it would probably be more difficult to have him around than it would be if he wasn't there. Again, I'm making a lot of assumptions here, but I would assume that she doesn't want him not focused. He's got a job he's got to go do, and she knows he's probably, and let's be honest, how many men are good nurses? Unless the ones that are professional.
Right.
My husband is horrible at being a nurse. And God forbid anything bad happens to me like that, you know, the first person I'm going to make sure I can get there, my mom. Because that is the person who, my husband loves me very much, hopefully, and would probably offer, hey, what can I do? And it's like, honestly, you go do your thing. You go work. You go continue to support our family. And my mom will be just fine, or somebody who I am close enough to. So I truly believe that in situations like this, especially, again, spouses of people who travel all the time for work, find this groove and figure out how to do life when they have their spouses or whatever, only they're part of the time. So,
yeah, no, I agree. I mean,
it's been military as well. Same thing, Donna,
yeah,
right?
I mean, it wasn't anything as horrifying and traumatizing as that. But when we had our second child, I'm like, yeah, great. You know, he's here for the birth. And I'm like, okay, I don't need you staying here overnight. Go. Can you, you know, you're not going to do anything. You're going to get less sleep. I'm going to get less sleep. Now we're both less sleep. Just go home. You go take care of our, you know, of JT, and I'll see you when I need to get out of here.
Now, there's the other opposite side of that. Blake Anderson, the Arkansas State football coach, who lost his wife to breast cancer. I know he missed the beginning of the season because this was a very terminal situation, and this wasn't like, hey, their days were numbered together. So in that particular situation, I think that is when absolutely the spouse should be there. But it sounds to me like if she's doing better and she has support around her and things are turning up.
There's nothing he can physically do for her other than just be there
to
support.
Well, I get where you're saying about wanting him to take care of the kids. But, again, he's probably spent less time with them than somebody else who's helped him.
Maybe. And obviously, of the three of us, I'm the one without kids. But I do think I would approach my husband and say, what do you think about taking this year off, 1 year off? To be able to be there for me, be there. I'm telling you, she was not able to, at times, she was not able to process any information. All sensory information was too much for her. The fact that they saved her hearing was a long shot. She could barely process multiple people in a room at the same time. And so it's not just, okay, I got this scheduling. Mom's going to drive the kids there. It's literally relearning everything.
Yeah.
And to me, not having your husband there at that moment.
And he wasn't there for that part of it.
No, he was there at times, but then he had to leaving.
Right.
So that's where I just wonder if it would
have
been like.
Well, it's like when with Nick Foles. And I know we're up against it, but with Nick Foles and
Tori
and the loss of their the stillbirth or the miscarriage that they had, and she was like, you got to go because that's going to make you feel better, and that's better for all of us. So it's an interesting dynamic. Anytime, I mean, relationships are all the way across the board. It's not always easy. All right, we come back. We wrap things up, make our predictions for a must-win game for the Jaguars on Sunday, plus what is this? Lay's chips? Something bizarre, Lay's flavored potato chips.
I always send you something with food.
And I love potato chips. This is right up my alley, but I don't know that I would ever try this one. You got to stay tuned for this. That's right after this.
Girls just want to talk football. More Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
Now on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Well, time has flown by here at Boston's Pizza and Sports Bar, which where we have been this evening. We'll be here for the next 20 minutes or so, but they're open until 2 a.m. Again, for their 11th anniversary, you can get half-price pizza and pastas, and also happy hour prices on everything else until they close at 2 a.m. tonight. But I got so far down the road that I almost forgot to give away our Peterbrook chocolate heel. Peterbrook is the neighborhood of chocolatier. The football chocolate footballs are back. So right now we will quickly do that before we get out of here. So caller number 4 to 641-1010 is this week's winner of the Peterbrook chocolate heel. Check and double check. Also, before I forget, you still have a chance to win that 2019 Toyota Crewmax Tundra that Ernie Palmer's giving away.
Yes.
And we're going back to Ernie Palmer next week to take a look at this thing. We're broadcasting live from there. Weekly, you pick them on 1010XL.com. All you got to do is pick the correct or the most correct number of games. Once you do that and you're the winner for the week, you're automatically qualified for week 17. And if you happen to pick every single game correct, again, it's not against the spread. It's just straight up. If you get all of them correct in week 17, you win a truck valued at over $52,000. Again, that is in partnership with Ernie Palmer Toyota. Check in, double check. Did I miss anything, ladies?
We get food from Wingstop next
Tuesday. And Wingstop will be there, too. But tonight we're talking Boston's Pizza, and this is where you all need to be. All right, speaking of food, Donna, tell me about this weird potato chip and whether or not I need to try it.
Well, it seems like Lay's always comes out with different flavors. You know, every season or every year, and I know sometimes they make it a contest. So starting, I forget what date, I think a couple weeks, that you can try, if you would like, the brand new flavor for Lay's is grilled cheese and tomato soup.
That's weird to me.
That sounds delicious.
So
great. It doesn't sound
bad. I bet it's
bad.
Just, I bet it's like tomato basil-y cheesy tasting, right?
Probably.
Which is delicious. As long as there's some sort of cheese flavor.
Right.
And then you add in a
little
roasted
thing of
tomato and basil flavor. That sounds fantastic.
It sounds pretty good.
I recently had a type of cheese. I think it was Fontina.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And the first
that sounds fancy.
Bite I had, we love to buy cheeses, just random cheeses that, you know, they have the little pie-shaped things.
Yes.
What are those things called?
Yes, that are like $8 for a pie-shaped piece.
It was $3.50.
Oh, okay.
But yes,
all right.
It was
all
a
right.
little pie-shaped.
This was a cheap one.
Not a cheese,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
And so it was Fontina. And so the first bite I had of the cheese, I said, that's the cheese you put in your grilled cheese. That's it right here, right now. I need 2 pieces of bread. I need them buttered. I need them toasted.
And you had
that cheese.
Brian whipped you one right up, didn't you?
No, we just ate the cheese. It was during football Saturday, so there was no cooking involved. But no, it's so good. And so when I think of that chip, I think deliciousness.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think, I mean.
You buy it, I try it. How's that?
I'll do that.
Have you tried the
I haven't tried the pizza
cheese pizza yet.
Nope,
no, we haven't tried that. Said that we were going to do that, so we need to
yeah,
give
and
that
I would have done
only
that last
Boston's
week.
Pizza from now until
yes,
the
that's
end of
right. 10% goes yeah. to walk off charities as well.
I would have done it last week, but then yeah. I wasn't here for the show. So
okay, the Jags hit the road, ladies, and they again go play a winless Cincinnati team who is not very good, does not seem intimidating whatsoever. But they're probably thinking this is one that they can get with the Jags coming to town. How important is this game in terms of the remainder of the season?
I think it's huge. I think it's huge just to, you know, you're coming off what you could have won or you could have tied and then gone into overtime. It could have happened. It was a tough fought game. And the distraction of the crap story with Jalen and Now Minshew coming off a bad game. It's important for this offense to be good, if not great, and come away with a win. Because like you said, you don't want to be that team to stop a streak of, you know, so many losses in a row. Mm-hmm. So keep it going for Cincinnati to lose. I think it's very important.
Look, the Bengals played pretty well against the Ravens on Sunday. Ravens won 23-17, and we all think the Ravens are a much better team. So they have the ability. Andy Dalton occasionally can rush the football. Not well.
Yeah,
but
he's not.
Ugh. But he does have that ability at times when needed. I just don't think that the Bengals' defense is anywhere close to what the Saints' defense was. The reason Gardner Minshew was harassed, had kind of happy feet and wasn't comfortable in the pocket, was because the New Orleans secondary took away his weapons. DJ Chark, at times Dede Westbrook, and certainly the tight ends have kind of disappeared, and they were, every single pass that he threw was certainly very well covered.
We have a bit of breaking news. Always love when we get that little nugget. For anyone interested in where Jalen Ramsey will end up and whether or not he'll be with the Jaguars, it's being reported from Ian Rappaport that he is in the process of being traded to the Rams.
Well, earlier today, the Rams.
Go join Blake Bortles. Have fun with Bortles, Ramsey.
See, earlier today, the Rams traded their cornerback,
yes,
Marcus
to
Peters,
Baltimore.
To the Ravens.
Yes.
And the moment that happened, I thought, this is a football team that certainly is not throwing the hat in and saying, we're done for this season, even though they just lost at home to the 49ers. This is a team that certainly still believes, coming off of a Super Bowl loss, believes that it's in contention. And more breaking news.
Yeah, so here's an addition to that. Jaguars will be trading Jalen Ramsey to the LA Rams for 2 first-round picks.
Nice.
And 2020 and 2021 and a 4th-round pick in 2021. So
I will take that.
Frank Frangie, come over here. Frank Frangie, come here. Put the headset on real quick if we can throw one on. Here, I'm going to tell you something. Jalen Ramsey has been traded to the Rams. Yes. Oh, he's got to get his old man glasses. Here it comes. Here it comes with the phone and the old man. Chad's going to throw. Sorry, Chad. We got a left turn here. But
here. Just give him my headset.
Oh, here you go. Take this one right here. Oh, he's get you hooked up. All right. It is officially official. Jalen Ramsey's headed to the Los Angeles Rams for 2 first-round picks in 2021. And a 4th-round pick also in 20. Got the blue check. It's Adam Schefter. It's Ian Rappaport.
It's Schefaport, Frank. Schefaport.
And then
both
now we have Frank Frangie, who decided to hang around. And I'm glad you did. What do you think of this, Frank?
And it's for sure, right?
It's for sure, for sure.
Okay. I think probably he got his way by acting like a baby. And he forced their hand a little. I don't think they wanted to trade him. I don't know the details, and I won't pretend to. I didn't know it was going to happen. I will say this. I think he showed up his owner. I think he probably gave Shad the impression he was going to play. I think he was trying not to play. And you know what? Do we know what they're getting?
Yes, so they're getting 2 first-round picks in 2020 and 2021.
One in each year.
And a 4th-round pick in 2021.
Okay.
So no tight ends for this year, unfortunately.
Okay, so 2 1s and a 4.
Yes.
You know what? I'm all for it.
Yep.
I'm all for it. I think the guy didn't want to play. He was a bad teammate. I can tell you, he didn't have any friends on the team.
Well, he and Dante Fowler Jr. are now reunited, right?
Yeah, that's right. But he had no friends on the team. I think he wanted to force their hand. I don't think the Instagram post is why they traded him, because it wouldn't have happened that fast. I think it was in the works. But I think it's best for him now, because people turned on him then. He didn't want to be on the team. You know what? Good riddance. Good riddance. And I never disliked the kid, and I'm not the guy that dislikes the kid, but I know there's a lot of kids. There's 53 guys on that team that want to be out here. They want to live here. They want to wear that logo. They wear that logo very proudly, the way I wear it every time I call a game. And he didn't want to wear that logo anymore. And so if there's a lot of guys that are proud of that logo and he's not, then I'm fine that he's gone. And, so, I applaud the team for it, and I mean that very sincerely. So I'm surprised.
Right.
But I'm kind of pleasantly surprised.
I was going to say, the Jaguars, listen, the Jaguars get what they wanted essentially out of it pick-wise. If you're just tuning in, Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, these are all blue check marks. Nobody's being duped here.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey's headed to the Rams, and in return, the Jaguars will get a 2020, 2021, both first round picks there, and a 4th, and also 2021.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, if the Rams keep tumbling, that'll be a good pick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The beauty
we
is,
are rooting against the Rams for the remainder
time,
of this season.
Every time they play a game.
Blake Bortles reunited.
My first comment was, go have fun with Blake Bortles again.
You know, but
enjoy that.
But you know what? I hate to put him in the same conversation because Blake is an all-world good person who busted his butt and cared
Who would have played here till the end of his days.
And he did all he could to be good. He just wasn't. This guy was and didn't care. Totally different scenario.
Frank, if he gets out there tomorrow for practice, he can play for them.
Yep, and I'll bet he does.
Yeah. Let's see if that back miraculously.
I'll bet you he plays. When do they play? Do they play a Sunday game?
That's a good question.
Is he now
the Rams? Yes, play a Sunday game.
Has he become the ultimate heel in Jaguars history, Frank?
I don't see. Great question, Lauren. Yes.
At the Falcons on Sunday.
Yes. I think he has. I think because this city embraced him. This city loved him. And even when all the stuff happened, the city wanted him to stay. Yeah, he is the ultimate heel. He didn't want to be here. He didn't want to be part of the team. He didn't want to wear that logo anymore. And those of us that are proud to wear that damn logo, yeah, he's a heel to me. I mean, I mean that very sincerely. He didn't want to wear that logo anymore, and I'm glad he's gone.
Jaguars will now start A.J. Boye, Trey Herndon, or continue to start A.J. Boye, Trey Herndon, D.J. Hayden. How have they played?
You know what? Hayden's having a great year. He's having a great year. Boye's played better, played pretty good. The Herndon's the question. I think he's been fine. The first game against Denver, they picked on him a little bit, and he had to get his feet wet, and he struggled a little. I think the last two games, he's been fine. He's not Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey might be the best cornerback in the league. Everybody knows that. He's a wonderful player. And so no one's going to be him. You got to play differently. I'll tell you this. They've had to plan two. I can tell you this for a fact. They're putting together two game plans. Mm-hmm. They've had to have game plan with him, game plan without him. That's so you get fewer reps in your game plan without him because you have to spend some reps in your game plan expecting to have him. Now all that clutter's gone. It's a shame he felt that way. It's a shame he didn't want to be here. It's a shame he didn't want to wear that logo. But I sure am excited about the ones who are still wearing that logo.
Absolutely. I hope the smog from Los Angeles gets into his lungs.
All right. We're going to wrap things up
here. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Frank, for hopping off with us. Again, reporting breaking news here before we sign off for the evening into the night. Rick Ballew will continue on right after we wrap things up. But Jalen Ramsey has been traded to the Los Angeles Rams for a first-round pick in 2020 and 2021 and an additional pick in 2021 in that fourth round.
He is
out the door. So the question I asked earlier today, would Jalen Ramsey ever play for the Jaguars again? If you went with no, then you were the big winner tonight. Also the big winner tonight is everybody who came out to Boston's Pizza and Sports Bar. Keep them coming. I mean, they're open till 2 a.m. tonight with the 11th birthday for them. It's 50% off pizza and pasta. Happy hour is all night long. So get yourself a DD and get out here and enjoy sports. And lots to talk about, I'm sure, as the night continues on here on 1010XL. Play us out, RJ. We appreciate doing what you do for us. Thank you to Andrew Gibson as well. Thank you to everybody who came out to Boston's Pizza. Thank you to Boston's Pizza for having us. For Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, I am Lauren Rue. Have a great rest of your evening. Stay tuned for End of the Night with Rick Ballew.